Call is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Reggie Bullock, and this is the This Is Recorded podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening. Wherever you're listening from, anywhere, I appreciate it. Please subscribe, like, you know, on Instagram. I don't have a Snapchat. I'm too old for that shit. I don't really know how to work that shit. But I guess that's what niggas use now. But I've been telling you niggas to comment, but I guess you got to write a review, because I guess a lot of people listen to this shit on Apple Podcasts. So write a review. Like, let me know what I could do better, what I could do the best, what you want to hear, what type of interviews you like, what kind of topic you like, me and my wife talking about, whatever you like. Just write a review. I guess that's what you got to do. Or SoundCloud, you can comment on this shit. But, hey, I want to interact with the people. If people listening to it, I want to know what they like about it. So let me know. An interview today, it is Black History Month, even though Black History should be every day to Black people. But it's Black History Month. And I went to school with this dude that I'm about to get into this interview with. And I was interested in the past year or so. I've been seeing a lot of his posts. And I'm like, whoa. Like, he's a lot of Black history stuff, a lot of Black knowledge, things of that nature. And I'm like, wow, this seems totally different from what I know him for in high school. And I've seen he's making a positive approach in his life. And he's doing a lot of things for the youth, a lot of things for the community, a lot of things for, most importantly, his family and his son and his lady, and just really taking on a thing of his own. And just really, it really caught my eye. It was really interesting. So I was like, I got to get him on in the perfect time. They Disney did Black Panther on Black History Month. This is recorded. Yeah. It's my Disney. So I'm doing it on Black History Month. Yeah. So further ado, man, it's my boy Rod G Star. So
yes, sir.
Let's get into it. Yes. Just tell them your name real quick and where you come from. Where were you born at first?
Rod G. Star Tyler, and I was born in Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
South L.A. or South Central L.A. That's where my base is.
Okay. What part, to be specific?
Vermont, Menlo. With Crips. I was born around Crips. My whole family are Crips. We stayed there for a while. Then I moved to Linwood. I stayed a lot of places. Linwood. I lived in Projects. I lived in Watts, Compton, Lancaster, the Antelope Valley. And now I live in Vegas.
Okay, so what was it like in your neighborhood growing up, like your earliest memories of your neighborhood?
Growing up, when I was a kid, I really didn't know too much about, you know, gangbanging. So it was like the family environment, you know. A lot of women, I would say that, a lot of single mothers. I can remember always being around the kids and women, not too many men. The men that were there, they were, you know, doing the things in the streets. But I didn't see too many fathers around.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. My bad.
No, I got you. I'll keep going.
Oh, okay. I'll keep going. So, didn't see too many fathers around. Boom. My mom ended up getting on Section 8 because my dad wasn't there. He tried his best for what I know. But being a father, he wasn't. So my mom ended up getting on Section A. We lived in, house to house, you know. We lived in a shelter. We lived in a mobile trailer park, you would call it. And then from there, it was just, you know, negativity. Not too many role models, I would say. And then as I kept growing, you know, around maybe eight, close to nine, we moved to Linwood, California on Carlin Street. And this is where I see actually the gang culture, you know, like full-fledged gang members. And we moved to these apartments, and we lived like in the front. We lived in the upstairs apartments, but our patio, you can see the the entrance to the apartment. So these guys was hanging out one time, and they were all dressed up with the same colors and stuff. And, you know, I'm not knowing that they're gang members, because it's kind of, you know, kind of regular to me to see people dressed up alike and hanging out all together. So I ended up meeting their little brothers. They were the same age as me, and we're still friends today, Dante and Damien. And they're telling me these are their brothers and their homies or whatever. And we became close friends. My mom ended up messing with one of the dudes or whatever. So we're hanging out with them. And I'm growing up, getting a little, you know, we stayed right there for like 2 years. And I saw shootouts, you know, with these guys. And broad daylight fights. You know, we was hanging out, playing, skate, doing, you know, little kid things, hide and go seek, and all that good stuff. We would find guns around. Like, it was crazy. It was a little crazy, but it was kind of normal to us. You know, it wasn't like I had this conversation with my sister that it wasn't like, you know, sometimes they say people are followers, but if you don't know nothing else, that's it. You know, you're not actually being a follower because you don't know anything else. There's nobody there to lead you, to tell you anything different. So we would just go on and still play, grab a gun and still skateboard, you know, like, oh, it's a gun right there. Grab it, show our friends, and continue playing. And then from there, it became crazy, you know, violence and everything. So we moved. It's about 11, 12-year-old young guy. I moved, after seeing all that, I moved to Lancaster because of my auntie. She said this would be a better place for us. And my mom wanted something different for her family. And okay. I have three sisters, you know. And none of their fathers are there. I just want to say that because it's about the man being there. So, but go ahead, brother, my bad.
Yeah, man, that was a lot already, man. So, like early on in your life, were you into sports or like music? Which one was more you into as a youngster?
I tried to play sports. Really, it was dance. You know, I like to dance. I always like to dance. My dad has a lot of rhythm. You know, he loved to dance, and I love to dance. That was my main thing. Played a little football here and there, but not like with no little leagues, you know, junior leagues or peewees, nothing like that. But just dancing. I love to dance and have fun. Just a regular kid, not really into sports too much, unless we played in the neighborhood. But that was it, really, with the sports thing. You know,
so with dancing, music came into the fact. So what was your earliest memory of music like? What music do you remember being played in your household? Like your first songs of music?
You remember I said the women, so they, Mary J. Blige.
Bumping. Oh, man.
Yeah. Bumping.
That's a woman's pain right there, man.
Bumping,
man.
You know?
That's why, I guess that's why a lot of people can't respect the new one, because if you grew up like we grew up, that shit.
Yeah.
I had a stepfather in prison, so every day before my mom used to get ready for work, she used to work the night shift, P to 7A, as a nurse, and she would play My Life. I'm like, if you look at my life and see what I'm like, oh, shit, here we go. I'm like, hey, she get ready for work. She's taking a shower, she play that and Jodeci. But My Life, man, that album, a lot of youngsters was raised off of Mary J., man. But
yeah.
What else do you remember coming up?
So we was always family first, though. You know, I can remember that. We always had a close knit, either with my mom and my dad's sister, or my mom and her, the friends she grew up with. We will always be together. You know, they always looked out for each other. I always remember that we can always go somewhere. Somebody's going to look out for us. You know, even though we're struggling, we don't have enough. There was somebody there always looking out for us. And we did the same with people, too. You know, always look out for your family and your friends, who you really call your friends, you know, not what they call friends today. You know, people meet each other for a week, and that's your cousin. But the people you really love is supposed to be there for you. You know, it's not, you don't just say I love you, show action behind it. I remember love, you know, because women, with the women, I remember love with the women, with the black women, man, for real.
And it's crazy because you say that because I was telling somebody the other day, it was like, Remy Martin, she just got out of jail and she was telling her stories. And she said, like, men, when they go to jail, it's a lot of people that go visit them, their mom, a dad, maybe a brother, sister, like girls. They have multiple girls coming through, but they say the women, nobody really comes to see them like that.
That's because it's like
they so disappointed as a woman that you got locked up, and a lot of women is holding stuff for a dude or something like
true.
That. Like you holding down a dude and you get caught up, and then he leave your ass alone, and then it's like the mom is mad at you because you done left your son out here. Because you follow behind this dude, and it's just like, you know, women are really, they really get, you know, a lot of people don't agree with a lot of things Jay-Z says or something like that, but he's a very knowledgeable person. He said, besides black people, the second most oppressed people is women. Because the women, even a black man could vote before a woman could. You know what I'm saying? They're like, and that's like, black people is on the back burner, so really women. And I think the time is coming around and people waking up to it now is that, like, women really hold it together and they really that family. And then, like, how could you hate somebody that's responsible for bringing life into this world? They got to hold us for all this time. And then they bitches and they hoes and they this. We all get frustrated. We make mistakes. But we got to uphold the queens. Without them, there is no nothing. James Brown, it's a man's world. It's a man's world, but it'd be nothing.
But it won't be nothing.
He said nothing. And he said that shit from his soul. He couldn't write that down. He sung that shit from his soul. Like, yo, it wouldn't be nothing. But I see from what you're saying, it was a lot of nurturing, a lot of love, and a lot of family. And that's what, with this podcast and all that, I want them to know that, you know, and let people see that, hey, when you see gang members and you see black people and you see aggression, and you see that, what you also don't know is love. There's family. There's community. There's bonding. There's good times. There's bad times. But it's always a lot of togetherness. So it's all that whole don't judge a book by its cover kind of thing. And I'm trying to really shed the way that the bad of gang members and let people know why certain things happen a certain way or a drug dealer or anything. Like, you don't know somebody's story. Like, I work at a hospital and they treat drug addicts or alcoholics real bad, but it's like, I don't know what they went through to become this way. So I can't treat them like nothing. You want a warm blanket? You want something to drink? I'm going to help you out. I'm not, oh, you stink, you this, you that. I don't know what happened in their life, but in your life so far, it just seemed like you grew up and a lot of, like, just nurturing and love and a lot, you know, women, man. Women just really need to become on pedestal, man. Like, really, really.
That's crazy because I just said that at the event I threw, how, you know, with religion. You know, religion, the major religions, Christianity, Islam, you know, and all these other religions that people are banging out here, because I call them gangs. The woman is out, you know. It's no goddess. It's no woman on the throne with God, you know. And he should have a woman. He shouldn't be by himself because we're not. Everything has a balance, you know. When you have fruit, when you have trees, leaves, insects, you know, all these, you know, fishes, animals, everything has a balance, you know, a male and a female. And God has to have one, too. So we have to respect the woman, you know, because she is God.
Man, that's deep, man. I never even thought of it that way. That's definitely deep. So when you was young and all the things you was around and everything, like, what did you want to be as you grew up? Like, what did you think you'd be doing?
You know, I was a young kid in the hood. I thought I was just going to be rich with no idea, really. Like, telling my friends, and we saying, my car, you know, claiming cars were ours and stuff, playing around. And we said, we're going to be rich one day. And never really figuring that out. you know, having dreams and stuff of playing, maybe I'm going to play football, maybe I'm going to play basketball, I'm going to be a rapper, you know, and not being sure what I was going to be. Because at the same time, like I said, there wasn't no man there to guide me and to play catch with, to do the, you know, the manly things, to show me how to fix a car, to, you know, just teach me, to mold me and to say, hey, look, you gifted. This is what you should do. You know, it was kind of, I had to figure that out for myself. Or me and my friends had to figure some things out, you know, and we had to big each other up, you know, at the same time. Our, the women, they didn't have a lot, you know. They was getting government aid, you know, so food stamps, a little bit of money to pay the bills, that you couldn't get all the, this one time I wanted to play football, but my mom couldn't pay for the expenses to play peewee, you know, and I was sad, like, I was sad as hell. She's like, it's going to be okay, I'm going to get some money, da, da, da. You know, I'm going to call your dad, and it never happened, you know, and, so you were, I became like, even though I had the love, I became a little angry at the same time. And that's the problem with the game banging, like you said, that, you know, you have the love, but at the same time, when you go outside and you see other things and these people treat you nice, they give you things. Like a lot of my family members, they're gang members, they have money. So when they would help me, when they would give my mom money or they would shoot me $20, you know, come, you know, wipe my window off or, you know, pump my gas when I'm out with them. And I would see them, and they don't work. You know, but they fresh. They got all the cars. They look good. They can help the family. So at the same time, that's what I wanted to be. You feel me? That's the men that was around me. That's who I wanted to be like. So drug dealers, pimps.
Go ahead,
bro.
That's definitely what it ends up being, and that's why I tell people all the time, like, you look at a gangbanger and you don't understand their story for the most part. It's like, they really searching for family. It's what all it is that, like,
true.
Or they see men, and whereas in your case, why would you not gravitate towards a group of men showing unity when you've never seen it for yourself? Why would you not? Why would you... Yo, Rod can't play football. I heard his mom, you know, she couldn't do it. Yo, dude down the street, he give you whatever you need to go take care of it. And then as of him, always, you know, if, say, the same person give you a couple dollars here, make sure you're good there, and you know he pressed the hood, it's like, I'm obligated. You're going to feel obligated I have to. Because it's like, yo, he
like
does
he always
so much
look out for
me.
Yeah,
it's like, come on, and that's what people... don't understand, and for the gang culture, it could be taken either way. Either they could, you know, they bring you in and they nurse you, or they use you. Because they know the young boys, they ain't really going to get no time like that.
Mm-hmm.
If they do
that's
some wild
too.
Stuff, that's why
that's
they started. Like in the 90s and the 80s, they have young 12-year-olds, whatever, hustling. Because if you get caught with some crack or whatever on you back in the day, you're going to go to juvie for a couple days and get out. Like, yo, you're good. That's why young boys are shooters, because they're like, they're not going to charge you. You just shoot something up real quick. But that's why, for me, I'm always for gang members. It's like, them dudes is hurt. A lot of them dudes is hurt, and they looking for either a manly figure or love, one or the other, or maybe both. They searching for that. That's why a lot of them join gangs, because they see the brotherhood, and they see, like, they
Get family.
Money. It may be illegal, but it's like... Mm-hmm. Given what I'm seeing at home, I'd rather take that chance than deal with this shit that I'm going through at home every day. You know? So it's like, that shit crazy. It's community, man. So with Black History Month and how you are, like, how you want to empower the black community and you want everybody to be strong, what was your earliest signs of racism that you can remember?
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I was just about to bring that up. I never knew really about racism. That's what some black people need to know, that most black people who stay in the hood, the people that are racist around us is usually Mexicans, Asians, really Mexicans, because we don't see white people as much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I got called a nigger by a Mexican my first ever time hearing that in school, in elementary. I beat him up. Boom. You know, but I didn't think of it as racism. You know, it was just like a word he said, really. But when I really found out about racism was when I moved to the Antelope Valley, to Lancaster.
Yep.
And I was going to Parkview. And I was walking home, and this white guy, teenager guy, came outside, and he said, "Heil Hitler." And he was doing the salute and everything, like, outside his house. And I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? Because I didn't know who Hitler was, really. I didn't know, what are you talking about, dude? You look stupid.
Yeah.
Boom, I go in the house, and I say, "Ma, it's a white dude up the street talking about Hitler or something." She like, "Oh, he's racist." I was still lost, like, huh? Like, what are you, huh? He's racist, how? You know, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. And then I start, from there, learning about racism and going through things in Lancaster, and Antelope Valley is a big hub of racism there, you know, being called.
Yeah,
niggers.
It's just, yeah, it's wild because, like, especially, like, I went to AV and Lancaster, and AV, it was like, it's a hood. It's a lot. It's on the east side. It's real wild. It's real hood. Mm. And like when I went to Lancaster, it had some hood people in it.
Yeah.
But it also had like a bunch of white people that was,
yeah,
like, yo, like, so I remember, you know, we don't incriminate niggas around here. So I remember a certain situation where my boy, hey, he was sitting on a bench. We in ninth grade. White dude comes over like, "Hey, get the fuck off our bench. It's our shit in the morning."
Yeah.
My boy looked at him like, "The fuck, nigga? Go ahead about your business." He's like, "All right, I don't want to beat you up, white boy. Go ahead about your business." Like, "Move the fuck off my bench, you fucking nigger." After that, my boy gave him a 3-piece, put him in the headlock, and just waited for security to come. Like, and it was so funny because your ass was talking all that shit, and this nigga took mercy on you because he just put you in the headlock afterwards, because he like, "I'm gonna really kill this nigga, so I'm just gonna hit him 3 times, and I'm gonna just grab his ass so he calm the fuck down," because my nigga was a real one, like, "Yo, let me beat his ass, and then just, you know, put him in the headlock, I'm gonna tell the school what happened, why I fucking swung on his ass," and then that was it. And then, you know, it's just like, and there, and then like in California, what people may not know, what people listening may know, is this black and Mexican wars every single year, and it started in the prisons, and it's bleed out into the streets every year. So,
big,
yeah, Lancaster, AV, whatever, that shit, that ain't some shit that most people go through in high school. Like, this prison-style shit in high school. Like, and I've been cool with both. So I'm like, yo, I'm the fuck out of this shit. Like, yo, I'm just like, yo, I'm out of here. Like, yo, I ain't in the middle of this shit. I already know somebody gonna get hurt for real, and I'm like, nah. Because I walk a lot of places solo, so if I ain't a part of no shit, where the fuck y'all niggas gonna be at when I'm walking around solo, nigga? Hell no. Nah. Like, if we was gang, nigga, hey, I'm good. Like, we gotta do whatever. We got to. I got to at this point.
Yeah.
Or get EP, whatever, shit.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, but since I wasn't in no shit, I'm like, nigga, I'm going home, nigga. Tell me about who got beat the fuck up tomorrow. Nigga, I'm good. Shit, I remember Lancaster, niggas was motherfucking throwing shit, Mexicans on one side, blacks on the other side, and then for that,
big
it
rumble.
Was during school, so shit.
Yeah.
It was
big
during
rumble.
School, so I had no choice. I remember one of the first times I saw you, funny story is, Mexican dude came by the spot under the stairs one time. You laid the nigga out. I was like, god damn.
I remember that.
Was like, shit, because he came over like, "What's up, fool?" And you laid this nigga out with like 2 clean swoops. I was like, god damn, this nigga really got his for real. But shit, that shit is crazy. Like, but in California, a lot of it, like you said, y'all live in the hood. So it's like, well, niggas live in the hood. It's like, yo, you're going to see Mexicans or Asians. But like, for other people, it's mainly white people. But when you go to Antelope Valley, it's like, yo, it's white people and shit like that. So how was high school for you and, like, your time in school?
School, so Parkview, you know, junior high, was pretty cool. I guess this is a time where you kind of know yourself and you kind of build in your character a little bit. Like I said, I love to dance. And around this time, clown dancing is getting popular. So You know, we came up with our own little clown group or whatever. And it's booming. I'm having a good old time. I'm having fun. I'm meeting a lot of people. A lot of the females are cool, you know. It's going pretty good. It's actually going pretty good. But in school, I'm learning racism, too, because the teacher, and this is the problem in the black community, that we're not teaching our own children. And the white teachers can't connect with us, you know. They have no connection with the young black kid that want to get up and maybe dance. He's a class clown, and he says jokes, you know. But if it was her son, she would get it, you know. The black mom is going to get it when he says a joke because she can relate to it. So one time I made a joke, everybody laughed, and the teacher said to me, "You won't be anything in the real world. You will never be anything. You will be nothing." And I said, "Yeah, okay. You ain't nothing." And everybody laughed again. She got real angry. "Get out of my class." But I remember she told me I wasn't going to be anything. You know, and a lot of times we get told that as black children in school, that we won't be anything. And then went to Lancaster High. But from when I was in junior high, remember you had, well, in Lancaster, we had colors or whatever. You had track or whatever. And then, at Parkview. And so once you go to high school, you get the summer off. This is where everything changes for me. You know, this is where I got free time to kind of go around and see things and stuff and be out for a couple months. And that's where the gang culture came in again. When we moved from Linwood to the Antelope Valley, the first thing we wanted to do was have our own clique because we thought, you know, that's what we were supposed to do. So at first we were going to be Tiny Gangster Crips until we found out that's a real gang. We was like, no, we can't be that. We're not a real gang. We could be a clique. We could be Penthouse Players, you know. We was like, we like the girls. We like to have fun and party and stuff like that. But, you know, like you said, brother, when you – they mold us so much to hate each other, and if you're getting the most attention, you could dance. You know, you look fly. Girls are liking you. If people want to be around you, then you get hate. And during that time, we found out, you know, people didn't like us. They were forming their own little cliques. We were going around, you know, doing negative things, and then we went to high school. Boom. And these same people you saw when you was partying during the summer, you got to go to school with them. And I went to high school. High school was completely different because there was more people, and people are older. You know, you got people 17, you know, about to be 18. Some people were 18, you know, about to graduate. And, you know, you got down there grown people. And I say high school was a good experience, other than, you know, the racial riots, you would call them, and things like that. But I just want to go back. During that time when we had our cliques, we didn't have enough still. You know, my mom, she would work, and I have to bring the father in. You know, I'm big on that because I am a father. My mom would have to go to work, so I would have a lot of time on my hands by myself, you know, to run around, to go and break windows, to just do kid stuff, but I didn't have no man there to mold me and to make sure I was on the right path, to, you know, with that energy to go do this. Hey, yeah, it was most of the time. My friends, we were our own fathers. We would say, "No, man, hey, go do this. No, go do this." And, you know, we was our own dads because we didn't have any. And my mom would work. You know, the only time I would see her when she got me up for school. Other than that, that was it. She would go to work, get off, be tired, wake me up, boom, get out of school. She's not there. She's at work, boom. Same old thing, over and over. So we would go on shopping sprees, really stealing sprees. We would go buy, you know, steal. I don't know if you know about this. You take some old shoes and you go to Ross or, you know, Marcy's or whatever, wear some shoes and trade your old shoes for the new one, you know. And that's what we have to do to stay fresh, you know. Like, we didn't want to steal because we knew we could go to jail or whatever, but moms couldn't buy you the shoes you wanted. She couldn't get you the stuff you wanted, so you had to do what you had to do. And that's what we would do a lot, me and my friends, man. Try to stay fresh and look good and then see other children with things and, you know, get a little envy, get a little mad when this is where the, you know, light skin, dark skin, you know, young, old, you know, when you got people in with, what does Brother Polite say? Economic slavery, you know, people would do anything to feel good, to feel like they're wanted, you know, to, cause you look fresh, you got the new shoes on, people attract to you. When you ain't got your hair cut, you can get them new J's, you know, they clown you, you know, they tease you, and you become angry, and you want to beat people up and stuff like that. But high school was amazing, other than the game banging part and doing negative activities. Meeting people, meeting a whole different type of group of people. You know, I was always a person who gave everyone a chance, even though I would hang out with the so-called, quote-unquote, bad crowd, you know, or the people who that other groups were scared of, always gave other groups, like, a chance, you know, the weirdos or whatever that nobody talked to, or the cool kids that people don't like because everybody like them. Always gave them a chance, you know. I became cool with every group, you know, and I can mingle in any group, just like today.
That's the way to be. I mean, and Lancaster at this time, I guess it was a time frame maybe around like, you know, like 2001, 2003
yeah.
to about
yeah.
2006, something like that.
Yep.
It was
That's
a crazy
right.
time in Lancaster, and it was a crazy time in LA because Lancaster really started to make a name for itself of like, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, you think niggas is pussy in Lancaster, but they really not. And then that's when, like, people started getting, like, shot. And people
shot.
Started getting killed.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I remember, I don't know if you remember, but the first person I knew to ever really die, like, in the street was my homeboy Devontae. He was a tall dude. He used to, like, clown around a lot. And he used to joke around a lot. But they killed him. Like, the story in the hood is like, yo, he got killed over an I-40 phone.
I remember
like
that.
Back,
yeah,
like
I knew him. Yeah,
like
over there yeah, at a party.
Yeah, it was like, yo, that's when Lancaster started to get, mm-hmm. like, real. It was like, oh,
yeah.
shit. Because, like, even in Snoop Dogg knew, everybody should watch that shit, Snoop Dogg knew youth football documentary on Netflix. He shows a little kid from Lancaster, his mom, you know, died in a car accident on Avenue L. Somebody hit, it was a hit and run, and they never found the person, so it's a little boy, he real angry. He go to school, him and sister fight, and they get expelled, and they talk about Lancaster. And Snoop sums it up, is that for anybody that doesn't know, Lancaster, California is a cheap place that a lot of gang members, and this is what he said as well, they move out there to try to, like, start a new life, and before you know it, you got a bunch of different gangs out there. And
true.
It's just wild as shit in Nestor because it's like, and I heard now it's really bad. I mean, I've been gone for like 10 years. I live in Atlanta now, but I heard it's really, really bad. And that's when, like, parties, man, like, everything was getting shot up, where people
yeah.
was getting a lot of time for shooting shit up, where people was fighting all the time, where it was
yeah.
just like, yo, Lancaster's really not to be. And then, like, one thing, you shouldn't fear a lot of things in life, but you should fear somebody who ain't got shit to lose, because that's when them niggas really don't care. Like, a gangbanging nigga for real, like, yo, I ain't really gonna do that shit. I already know this ain't about shit. But a little nigga that you meet in Lancaster, you from Compton, you from Watts, you like, little nigga, you pussy, you won't shoot that ratchet nigga. He gonna do it. He gonna pull you like, oh, shit. Like, he really did. You gonna think like, nah, this nigga's scared. So that's around that time where really Lancaster, in the most dreaded place, I don't know if you remember or you felt the same way, was the fucking fair. Every year before the
Ooh.
School year started,
Ooh,
the fair
why you bring
was
that up?
A place. It was a
for,
place where
the,
shit
that's
goes
where you,
down.
That's where you show up. That's where you perform. That's where you know, that was like the major, that was like Summer Jam for hip-hop. That was like Summer Jam for the streets. That's where you get to perform and really get a name out there in front of everyone. Since you brought that up, I'm glad you brought
Dollar
it up.
So, Dollar Day was a death wish. If you wanted to meet any nigga that shoot in his teeth, you ain't seen this nigga all year. Even Wolfie, we ain't have Instagram and shit like that. We just had word of mouth. Like, this nigga been saying, you fucked all year. This nigga been doing this. This nigga been doing that. This nigga seen you back in the day. He said the next time he see you, he's going to be on site, nigga. And boy, oh boy. Like, God. Man, I mean, it was a great time because, like, clown dancing was, like, a big thing. It was like, we had that. But it also, it was, man. AV Fair, especially when it was on the fucking east side, oh my God. By AV,
when it was right there?
When it was by AV, shit, anything had, like, you have no idea what the fuck can go, like, niggas were fighting, like, real bad. I mean,
it was
like that.
True.
Fairgrounds. I know you've been to the fairgrounds, for real.
Yeah, yeah, and like I said, we started our own little clique called PHP Penthouse Players, and originally it was positive, no negativity. We were just trying to have fun, party, get girls, and stay fly, you know. And but with that, it comes hate, and if some people don't like you and they want to fight you, and one of your friends get hurt, like I was telling, I work in Utah, and like I try to tell these white people, you know, that never been around black people, and they judge us and stuff, and they say, oh, the gang member's this. And I say, well, what if somebody hurt your brother, your sister? What would you do? And you knew where they stayed at. Without a doubt, without even blinking or thinking, he said, I would go and kill him. And I said, so just imagine a group of people who grew up together, you know, and are, they let this person into their family. He doesn't have a family. She doesn't have a family, and they take care of them. You know, and somebody hurts them. What do you think they're going to do? He said, oh, you make sense. Okay. And I was like, yeah, that's what happens, man. It's not just, we're not just coming in just to be negative, or we want to kill black people. Yeah. We want to just hurt people for no reason. Really, it's about unity and coming together. But, you know, we get tricked because we don't have the right leaders there to teach us the right things. But
Lancaster, it's crazy, man.
The fairgrounds, that's either the first day or, like you said, the dollar day. The first day or the dollar day, you don't want to go to neither, you know, because it's just going to be people who talk all the mess stuff, or the most stuff, and you get to see them. And you come with all your friends, all your family, with your whoever, you bring them all, and you fight, you know, you fight. And one time we had a big rumble, and we shut down the whole street. You know, it was one time. And we were just going back and forth, fighting each other. You know, it was stupid. It was because we could have been really friends. Most of the time, the people, for black people, most of the time when we fight people, they just like us. They love the same music. You know, they love to dress the same way. They talk the same way. They just like us. But we just don't like them because of where they from. But if you sit
and
down,
that's what it is, man. It's it's crazy. That's exactly what it is. Because it's like when somebody banging the hood really, really hard, it's like they gave me everything when I ain't have shit. They gave me like I feel like a part of a family. Maybe they come from foster care. Like a lot of people that gangbang come from foster care. Like I literally have no family. So the hood is my family.
My family.
They mom fed me. Their mom fed me. Their uncle gave me a couple dollars. This dude put me through football camp. This dude, like, so when they bang in the hood and they say, man, I'll do anything, when they locked up and they still bang in the hood, it's like they gave me, and that's what I really want to get through, is that really with the gangs, it's like it's a misinterpretation of it, because it's that, like, all these dudes are searching for family and love. That's all
for
it
real,
is. Like, they hurting on the inside, but they don't know how to express it. So they express it as in, the hood is my love, and I got love for the hood, and like I'll do anything. That's they wife. They looking at the hood as they wife, the flag as they wife. They like, yo, nigga, anybody say nothing to my wife, touch my wife, say anything, nigga, they gonna kill, and they kill for the shit. They rob for the shit. They do anything for the hood. And it's like, so these dudes is hurting and they just looking for love. And it's like, when they make it to like 25, hopefully, or 30, shit like that, they start to realize, like,
it's a blessing.
I knew what I was doing, but I didn't know I should have went about it another way, because it's like, I just wanted love and family, but I realize now, like, hurting my community and hurting my fellow brother is not the way. And
that's
in any way, that Crip and Blood, all these things was a protecting thing. If you want to get into the real, if you want to get into the real meaning of Crip and stuff like that, if you want to get into it, like, because we teaching, if you want to get into the meaning of Crip and Blood and stuff, when white people were chasing them around the Los Angeles watch area, things like that, in trucks, they adopted Crip. Like, look, we're a community, and we are really going to, like, come together, and we don't fight anybody who come in the community. That's what it originally was for. It originally was for the right thing. Like, hey, we standing up for something. It wasn't to sell drugs, and it was no.
Exactly.
It was a community of it, and, you know, and things happen from it, but all it is, it always come from a good place and then turn into something negative. It doesn't start out like this was a devil worship, but no, it was like, look, these white people is beating us up. So it's like, you going to come together and they ain't going to come in this hood no more. We protecting the women, we protecting the children, and we protecting ourselves. Like, that's where Crip started from, you know. So,
and then you have the Black Panthers. The Black Panthers have their movement. You already know what the U.S. government did to them, you know, corrupted them and made them fight each other and put a lot of them in jail and put them on drugs, you know, and around this time. So you got the civil rights movement where black people are together. You got a man in the household. You got a woman. You know, during this time, we're getting married. We're raising our children up. After that, when they killed Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, late 70s? Early 80s, the Black Panthers came back with with the revolution of fighting against, you know, the police and the government. And then they hit us with crack, you know. Then they start putting all the men in jail, putting the women on, you know, with the government aid, that you couldn't have a man in your household if you want us to give you free rent, give you food stamps, give you all this. If you got some man boots in your house, we would kick you off of, you know, government aid. So women would shun the man out. You know, they would say, no, I can't have you here. You know, and they switched that to you couldn't even be on probation or parole, you know, or you would get your Section 8 taken. So a lot of the times the women had to decide, do I want this, you know, my love in the house, or do I, you know, keep, and that's the white, you know, the white man is the man of the house most of the time. The TV is the man of the house, you know. So, but what you have said with the, once they destroyed the Black Panthers with the gang banging or with Crip, Community Revolution in Progress or Conscious Revolution in Progress, Blood, Brotherly Love, Old Rotten Oppression and Destruction, Power Rule, Panthers in Red Uniforms. I am a Crip. I'm from Mentlo Gangster Crip. My whole family is. But I'm a Crip. That's going to help my community, not destroy it. I already did enough. I'm 31 years old. You feel me? I did enough hating my people for no reason, just destroying them for no reason, and not knowing who my true enemy is and always been. You know, this is, if you know your history a little bit, and I just want to give some teachers' names out. If you look up the mother, Mama, is Dr. Frances Wilson. Dr. Quest Wilson, Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, Brother Polite, Sarasu and Seti. They got documentaries, Hidden Colors, 1, 2, 3, 4. These are good, easy things you can buy. They're not expensive. These books cost $10, you know, and they could give you a history lesson. Dr. Frances, she's a great master teacher, great woman, and she understood white supremacy through sports, entertainment, you know, education, justice. And she breaks it all down with her book called The ISIS Paper. You know, she's a great woman to research and learn from, for real. And she's going to teach you a whole lot. And that's what helped me. Sorry, brother. That's what helped me, seeing Hidden Colors.
Oh,
that's
no.
That's where I woke up when I saw let me go back. So in school, I was doing negative stuff, and I got kicked out of Lancaster because all my friends got kicked out. You know, all my close friends got kicked out of Lancaster. So I took up for somebody else. He had some weed, and I took the blame for it. And I got kicked out. You know, I went to Desert Winds. Boom, Desert Winds, boom. This woman, her name is Mrs. Cox. Never forget her. Great woman. She said, Rob, what do you like to do? And I like to work out, too. At this time, you know, you got to work out now because you're fighting and stuff. So I got my own little bench, a little punching bag, a little heavy bag in my garage and stuff. And I've been watching boxing my whole life. But now as I'm getting older and I'm fighting, I'm really intrigued. So I'm watching boxing Friday night fights on ESPN every Friday. And she said, what do you want to do? And I said, I'll box. And she looked up a boxing place for me in Palmdale, Gracie's Boxing. And I started boxing. That's what made me become a man. That's what helped me become a man, because sports is good. Sports is good for us, but we succeed and we don't come back to help our community. That you don't mold them with agenda, our children with agenda and culture. You know, they move out. We always teach to move out and never come back. But every other group, they come to the ghetto, you know. If the ghetto is so bad, why do people have businesses that's booming in the ghetto? It's something. They tricking us. They lying to us. But I start watching boxing, and I would see people that's Cuban, Puerto Rican, you know, Dominican. They would look black. And I'd be like, oh, the black dude can fight real good until he speaks Spanish. And I'm like, oh, I thought he was a nigga. People, too. And then I moved to Vegas because I started getting into trouble I was 18. I moved to Vegas at 21, but 18, my mom moved to Vegas. I graduated, and we got our own apartment out there. And we started getting into trouble, you know. My friends getting locked up, shootouts, you know, all this stuff, fights. And the reason why my mom moved, I want to say this too, the reason why my mom moved because my house, I got shot up. Not because of me. My friend was getting chased, and some people was trying to kill him, and he ran to my house. And then that started a war with us and the other guys. So, boom. My mom, like, we got to move, you know. What about Vegas? And I didn't want to move to Vegas because I didn't want to leave my friends. She ended up moving, and I stayed there. We got an apartment. I'm still boxing. I want to go back. I wasn't dancing no more. I had to decide if I was going to dance and have fun and try to, you know, help the kids or game bang. And I picked that with my other friends, the friends that's always been there, the friends that I see every day, the friends that, like you said, that's there for you when you call them, when you need somewhere to lay your head, when you need some shoes to wear, you know, when you ain't got a shirt on your back, they're going to give it to you. No deodorant, no toothpaste, you know. I had friends that didn't even know how to brush their hair, and I would teach them that. You know what I mean? Like, really, big brother are fatherly things that these brothers needed. And I'm about to be 21. I'm almost, you know, I could have lost my life or went to jail. That's two things. That's my decision I was going to make. Either you move or you're going to die. And I end up moving to Vegas. Moved to Vegas. Boom. Still doing boxing. I ended up started doing mixed martial arts. Got into mixed martial arts. Now I'm seeing Anderson Silva. I'm seeing Brazilian people. They're not speaking Spanish, though. They're speaking Portuguese. I'm seeing them, and I'm like, oh, he's black. Again, this happens to me. I'm like, he's black. And then he talks, and it's like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, I can't understand. You're not black. I thought you was black. I thought you was a nigga, too. You know, even my friends would be over, and they'd be like, oh, I'm going for the black dude. You know, and then as soon as he talked, oh, I thought he was black. And I'm like, he is. And they're like, no, he's not. What is he speaking? What the fuck is that? And I'm like, that's Portuguese. And boom. So this one time, I had the police had planted drugs on me before I moved to Vegas. They had planted drugs on me in Antelope Valley, Lancaster. They had planted meth, crystal meth on me. You feel me? And they put me in the police car. They searched me first, they put me in the police car. Around this time, a young kid had just got killed, murdered. And they had a witness come to where they stopped us. And they put us off the car. They already searched me. They said, is it him? She said, no. My other cousins, they asked, no. Before he put me in the car, because I never got caught for anything. When he put me in the car, he reached in the car, he grabs a Ziploc bag, a little one, with some, like, sugar in it. That's what I assumed it was. He's like, what is this? I'm like, that's not mine, sir. He said, yes, it is. He asked his female officer, did you check the car when you left the precinct? She said, yeah, that's his. I said, that's not mine, man. That's not mine. I don't know. I don't even know what that is. He said, you do. It's meth. In the black community at this time, we don't know what meth is. All we know is weed, pills, and maybe powder, cocaine, a little bit. And they said, it's yours. And I went to jail. My mom came from Vegas. You know, she said, take the deal. I took the deal, did all the shit I had to do, pay my fines, Prop 36, had to go to drug AAA classes, young kid. You know, I'm watching these people getting up, explaining their life story, how they didn't been on drugs and alcohol, and I got to get up and say, I'm not on drugs and alcohol. The police planted drugs on me. The lady laughed and said, yeah, I hear that a lot. I'm not lying. I will never forget that. Boom. And my mom, like, they trying to get you. You know. They're trying to get you. You know, it's either the guys that you don't like is going to get you or the police is going to do something to you. So I'm like, I'm still trying to play it off, but I end up moving, saying forget it. My mom got me a job. I'm doing mixed martial arts. Everything's pretty good, but I brought that same mentality with me still. You know, still like, I don't care really, but I do care. I don't care, but I do care. And I end up visiting. I kept on going back like a fiend. I got to be around my friends. I got to be around the hood. I got to, you know, get my respect from people, and people got to see me. You know, because they're going to say I'm a punk if I don't come around. People are going to talk stuff about me. And I end up, during this time, I just left. I didn't go to court the last time. You hear me, brother? I didn't go to court the last time. And this what got me with my faith, too. At this time, I'm still a Christian and believing in Jesus and God as a white person, too. They're still white in my head because I never saw a black Jesus. And if Jesus is white, I believe God is white. But we all come from God. We all God's children. But Jesus is white, for sure. And that's what give white people authority with young kids in the neighborhood, in the ghettos, because we believe in white Jesus. But so I didn't go to court. My last court day, I moved. This is like a year later. I go back. We get pulled over for the dark tinted windows. And he got my information. Yep, you got a warrant, outstanding warrant. Take me to jail. Boom. The lady sees me. She's like, what happened? You did this? She's naming everything I did correct. I didn't do anything wrong but show up to court the last day for the woman to say, case closed. Boom. I said, I moved to Vegas. My mom had got me a job, so I moved. She say, that's not good enough. 90 days. Boom. It's changed my life. It's changed my faith. So a white guy comes out, and that's when I learned about the justice system, about racism, again, how deep it is. And it would never change because we don't run anything. So white guy comes in. He's been gone for 2-3 years. He got prior cases with drugs and everything. He gives her a story that he had to see his daughter. You know, I'm sorry. He started boo-hooing. She said, okay, you got 24 hours to check in the AAA class. And he said, huh? She said, I'm releasing you. So he's coming to the holding cell, and he's saying, the whole time I was praying to God, I was, you know, never doubting him. He's doing this for a reason. Everything is for a reason, because that's what I was told. The guy's coming to the cell. He's like, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. He comes in. He looks up. He's like, I'm sorry, man. I said, don't fucking say nothing to me. At that moment in time, I was like, God, how can you bless this man? When I got a job, I just bought a car, I'm doing good, I'm training. You know, I didn't do nothing but come with my friends and have fun. Why would you make me suffer? But I stuck with it. I said, you know what? No, it's okay. God doing this for a reason. Went to jail, did my 90 days. Jail can corrupt your mind. You know, you can come out positive, but can really mess you up because you're around people who don't care. You're around more people who don't give a damn. You know, and I kept a cool head, got out, boom. And when I got out, something was telling me, like, you need to know who you are. You know, you don't know enough about people, your people, black people, Africans, African Americans. You don't know anything about yourself. That's the problem. That's what my mind kept telling me, like, you need to know more. Because I continue watching boxing and mixed martial arts. So I put in YouTube black. And all type of stuff. Egyptians are black. Jesus was black. This all black stuff. I just start clicking. And then one time I took my cousin to go get his hair cut, and his barber was like, you need to watch this DVD. And gave it to him. He said, it's the Hidden Colors. Watch Hidden Colors. I continue to watch stuff on YouTube. I end up finding out about all these people. Sarah Sunseri. It's a brother who got his own YouTube channel. What's his name? Sonetta TV. He has a lot of people on there. I'll start finding out about the Hebrew Israelites in the Bible, the Moors, these people who civilized Spain and Europe the second time when it was during their dark age. You know, how we help white people be who they are. You feel me? How the Egyptians civilized Rome and Greece and taught them how to speak and write and colors and stuff. That's why I get mad when people say black is just a color and it mean evil. Well, who told these people what black was? Who told these people what colors meant? Who told them how to make colors? It was us. The fathers and mothers of civilization. And then right there I said I had to do something. Watching Malcolm, you know, watching Khalid Muhammad and all these people saying the revolution will never die. It's on you, you know, to make sure we stay alive, to make sure it keeps going. You know, Nat Turner, found out about him, how he fought back, how they never tell us in school how we fought back against them. A lot of us are Native American. You know, we have that blood running through us. A lot of us we are mixed with African blood, you know, so. But at the end of the day, they're all the same people because a lot of the Native Americans, they pray to the same God. They have a sun god, quote-unquote sun god, water god, rain god. But that all comes from Europeans when we call them gods. They had deities. They praised the sun because they knew that would help the crops grow. You know, they prayed the rain. They would do rain dance because they knew if the rain came, they would get water. It would help the plants. You know, they praised animals because they knew what the animals would do and how they move. And they wanted to move to be quick like the eagle or the grizzly bear. Or if you go to Africa, they got different animals that they wear to try to, you know, be like them. And you got nicknames. People will call you, you move like a cheetah. You fast like a cheetah, you know. And that's how we are because we with nature. Sorry about that, brother. But that's what changed my life. And I wanted to start my own movement to help. And we don't do anything in California, really, for Black History Month. And when I moved here, they didn't do nothing here in Las Vegas, Nevada. So I'm like, we need to do something. I want to do a Black is Beautiful barbecue. And some people would say, because I spell black with two C's. I don't do C-K. So right off the bat, they say, oh, you're trying to keep it gangbanging. But black is an acronym, meaning building lives actively, consciously, and creatively. We're building lives actively, consciously, and creatively. Is beautiful, is love, is power. Black power. You know, and a lot of black people are afraid to say black power because they assume it's racist. I never teach any young person I'm around that you're supposed to hate another group. I teach them to empower themselves. And if you look up black power, that's what it means. To empower yourself, your community, your people first. And that's what I wanted to do. I didn't destroy my community. I felt I had to give back, you know, for all the wrong I did, for not knowing. And to become a leader, so no young brother can have that excuse that I had, that I didn't have a father. So that was the main thing I was saying about being a father or a big brother. You know, you can't just tell somebody to be a leader. I always got taught that. Don't be a follower, be a leader. But how can I damn lead when I don't know how to follow? You know, when you're a good follower, you will be a good leader because you're going to make good decisions. When your friend is like, come on, let's go over here, you can think and say, nah, bro, nah, I don't want to do that. You know, they're going to start looking up to you like, damn, we would have went over there, we would have got shot too. And that's what usually happens. Nah, I don't want to go over there, man. You ain't got to do everything. You ain't got to be the face of everything. And that's what changed my life. And you know,
I was saying for you, I was like, your whole time I've known you or known about you, it was like, yo, Rod could fight. Rod is like a leader. And then all leaders have great responsibility. And they say, well, power comes great responsibility. And you had the power to go left and do some wrong things and continue to keep your community down and rain terror on people or do whatever you want to do, or you could go right and uplift and show people, you know, hey, this is that. And then, like, I think the amazing part for a lot of people, especially when they get 25, 30 years old and they was into some wild stuff when they was younger, that when they finally get older and realize, like, that ain't really where it's at. It's like, mm-hmm. You were kept here for a reason. Everything you've been through in your life was made for a reason. And it was, you were like placed in these horrible situations at times in your mind is to prepare you for something greater and for you to take your hardships and turn it into greatness and triumphs for people and like, so young people, because the youth is where everything is at. You can learn mm-hmm. so much from them and they're going to yep. empower everything. They're going to yep. keep us, man, you talk to a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, 5-year-old. Have a conversation and they tell you like something in the world of things. That's crazy. Yeah. They're 5 years old, but their mind is steadily thinking about exactly. things. And you know, my 14-year-old nephews are 13, you know, like if you want them to empower stuff, that's the dumbest shit in the world. Like you a kid staying in the kid's place, this kid could tell you something that could change the world today.
You
don't need to speak. You a fucking kid. You don't know nothing about life. You don't know. No, man. They could change a lot of shit because the great minds a lot of times come from young minds, but they just don't know the direction. They kind of have all these thoughts. It's like they playing like a boxer. He hitting a heavy bag and he hitting it, but he don't know like what to focus on. He don't stop. But so when you get older, you learn to stop and separate where you need to go and how you need to do it. But they're going so fast at a speed, they can't really figure out which idea is the best idea. So, man, to tell a kid, like, oh, you don't know, that's crazy because you need to follow the youth. And greatness is a great thing. And also, greatness is the name of your son. Why did you
choose
that?
Yes, it is.
I know why you chose that.
Yes, it
but
is.
Why did you choose that?
So... we chose greatness, man, my queen, of course, because it's a strong name, but we believe in our race. We believe in our people, and we didn't want it to be a simple name. You know, I wanted, when people hear that, if a young kid or a woman, you know, or a man hears that, they put a smile on their face. Like, what? You know, and they have to, like, cheese a little bit, like, oh, wow. You know, of course, you get a little bit of hate, but I just wanted to make sure he was empowered early. you know, and I'm going to teach him that he has a definition. So it's to mold him. Already he's going to be something great. You know what I mean? We started off like that. Like we have, man, my daughter name will be beautiful when I have a daughter. It's already set in stone. That's her name. And she got a movement. She got the Black is Beautiful movement. My son, he's going to have some clothes. We're going to make sure he has something. So when they're growing up, it's already theirs. And it's the greatness name, everybody use it. They want to be great. You want to have greatness, you know? That's why we did it, because we feel that all our children should have amazing names like that and meanings behind it, and definitely have a meaning behind it, not just make something up, you know, have some meaning behind it, so when they explain a name to people, they know, and nobody can clown them about it and joke. I didn't know my name. Like I said, I had to research my name. I will always get teased. You know, because my name is Roderick. And people say, Roderick, dude, I thought it was Roderick. You know, and I was like, ah, that's a white person's name. You know, and I didn't want to be called that. You know, that's why I got a nickname. Call me G-Star. Call me Rod. Don't call me Roderick. Now I own it. I don't mind when people call me Roderick. I know what it means now. It means famous power in English. You know, old English. So just imagine if I would have knew that growing up, that my name meant famous power. You will feel like you're supposed to do something automatically growing up, you know, like you're supposed to be something. But when we don't do research, we don't make sure we're the first teacher. That's the first thing with us. We let other groups teach our children, and we happy. Yeah, my son going to school. You should be teaching him. Or right there what he's learning, how she's learning. Right, you should be right there. Don't be tired. Don't be watching Love and Hip Hop. Don't be hanging out. You should be teaching your kids every day what they should be.
Or
what,
somebody,
you know,
else is going to teach them. That's going to be somebody else, or it's the wrong thing going to teach them.
The wrong, exactly. They're going to go outside and pick up that gun and hang out with them kids over there, because you ain't. And then that's another thing. So with us, we make sure we help other groups. I mean, not other groups, but other people. Like, it's not just my family. Like, how we keep it indoors. Like, my kids are doing good. You know, my little cousin doing good. But the kids he's hanging out with, their family is not doing good. So that's going to lead your little cousin or your son or somebody to go a negative route. So you should help them, too. It's a community. It's always a community, a nation. We're nation building. If we build this up with that, with us caring about each other, when a black woman is getting beat up, and you don't just pull out your damn phone and say, ooh, damn, world star. You, hey, get off of her, police or whoever. A man is getting beat up. A black man getting beat up. You feel that's your uncle, you know. One time I cried, bro, with the dude that got killed in Louisiana, the one that was selling his CDs, and they killed him. They domed him and shot him, the two officers.
Oh, yeah.
And his son.
Oh, yeah.
His son was on the news, and his son broke down. He will be with no father now, you know? And I can just imagine, because I know my dad. He tried his best for what he did, but he wasn't a father, and I know without having that. And he saw his dad die, murdered, you know, and he broke down. And at that time, I'm working at the car wash in Vegas, and this racist white dude come, and I'm guiding him on the track, and he's going too fast. He starts screaming, but I'm keeping my cool. He starts screaming at me. And I'm like, dude, calm down. Just drive up slow. He said, what the fuck you say? I say, calm down, sir. Just drive up slow. He drives up. He goes past where I told him to. Now he got to bag up. He, motherfucker. I say, I don't know who the fuck you think you're talking to. I will fuck you up. He said, what? Oh, yeah. And he started reaching in his back seat. I said, what you going to shoot me? Huh? He said, that's what the fuck you want me to do, motherfucker? And this is around the same time, man, that shit happened, dude. And I was just like, black people don't care, man. Until it's you, until it's your cousin, until it's your auntie, until it's, you know, a female you mess with or whatever. And now you care, you know. Care all the time. Care when you see some people walking. Care when you see a woman walking through the door, you open the door for her. You know, greet your people. How you doing, sister? How you doing, brother? That go a long way. for us. Because we have a connection together, man. That shit, it just irks my nerves when I see that. And I always greet my people, always say something. Go ahead, brother, my bad.
No, no, I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm just saying, like, that's what I say, like, to a lot of people. I say, man, if you tell somebody, especially black people, because we know what we go through. If you tell anybody, say, hey, man, that's a nice outfit. Excuse me, miss, you look nice today. I don't mean nothing by it. I'm just saying, you know, you look nice. Say that person was ready to blow their brains out tonight.
True.
You might have gave them that hope. But if you see somebody and they walking down the street, they bump into you and ask them, man, watch where the fuck you going. What, you stupid?
Yeah.
You know what? You right. You right. I am stupid. So that dude might go blow his brains out. So it's like you might got the power to save a life by saying a simple, you know, I see a lot of women at work, no disrespect, they have a haircut, and it don't look that great, but you know what I do anyway? I tell them, hey, it looks nice. Your hair, yeah, it looks nice. You know why I tell them that? Because they probably insecure. They probably like, this shit looks terrible. I don't like it, because a lot of women are indecisive, because they are, and they're like, you know, so they're like, oh, this shit is terrible, blah, 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 I hate it. So I tell them, and I can tell they on the fence about it. So I tell them, I say, you know what, you look nice. When I know that they kind of like, it's alive, but it helps them because they might see, you don't know why they cut their hair off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They get cut their hair like, I feel ugly, I hate myself. And I'm like, look, even if it does look bad to me, if it'll make you feel better for me to tell you that, I'll tell you that because I don't know what you're going through in life. I don't know. And that's why, you know, when you see that little boy crying, losing his dad, and, you know, stuff like that, it hits a certain chord with people. It's things that all of us are going through that we're going to be sensitive towards certain subjects, you know, certain things and shit like that. Like, for me, I was born, you know, my mom was like 17, my dad was like 18, they were real young, and it's like, you know, they didn't know how to nurture, and they had to work, they had to work, they had to work, you know, it's like, and they didn't have that nurturing, so I grew up, like, I wanted some nurturing, I wanted to feel love, but it's like, they probably didn't have that, so they tried their best, and they provided, and things like that, but far as, like, nurturing, and like, hey, you did a good job, you know, hey, you know, I love you, blah, 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 whatever. I didn't really get that. So for me, I chased that with girls, and I'm like, yo, like, I'm going to mess with this girl, that girl, and I just jump at somebody who think they love me, but they really don't. It's just we doing our sex thing, we doing whatever, or she just telling, you know, I love you to any dude, but until I met my wife, and then I really knew what love was. But for me, I was jumping at anything and trying to make them love, like, and show the nurturing that I never got as a kid. Because it's like, when you're a parent and you're trying to provide and stuff like that, and, you know, you have, you know, my stepdad was in and out of jail. My dad ain't really have it like that at the time. They trying to just get by where they couldn't tell you, like, hey, you know, did you have a good day? Let's talk about this. And so they worry about these bills. They trying to provide. You know, my mom had five kids in one house. When my stepdad got locked up, she had to fucking work two, three nursing jobs.
Man,
just to make sure the bills was paid. So it was like, she don't have time to do that. So for me, I didn't grow up bad at all. I had decent lives, but it was like the nurturing part I was missing. And with my wife's shit, that's what I'm saying. Like we talked about before we got on this call, it was like a lot of dudes can search for a lot of chicks to stick their dick in. Like, they really, that's what they want. They want to just have a good time, whatever, whatever. But there's nothing like, yo, emotionally, I'm fucked up today. Can you, you know, just come by, watch a movie with me? You ain't even got to be on none of that shit. I don't want sex from y'all or nothing. I just want to, like, talk to you, have a conversation. But if all y'all do is have sex, she don't really want to talk to you, bro. She like, nah, like, I don't really got time for you. You know what we do, all that little nurturing shit you got to do. I'm not trying to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Get off me,
That's what they're like, yo, I want the D. I don't want none of that shit you talking about. So it's like, I'm like, yo, I tell my young brothers, I'm like, yo, whatever you want to do, do that to the fullest. If you want to just mess around, whatever, whatever, just do that. But when you get serious, don't fuck with nobody hard. Don't do that. Because it's like, tell a girl, like, you already know what it is. I don't really want all that. That's cool. But when it's time to get serious, be serious. Because also, women get hurt a lot, and they're the nurturers. So it's like, yo, why would you want to keep doing that to them? You know, but if you told her and she's cool with it, then okay. But there's nothing like when you find the queen. There's nothing like that. Shit
True.
Is different.
Look,
that's a different.
I'm glad you said that, because, and that's the whole thing. So when, once I start understanding, I became conscious, and I start holding myself accountable for how I treated women. You feel me? And the stuff I would glorify and post, and I changed that. I would post all positive things about black women. Everything, you know, how they look, what they talk about, whatever, everything positive for black women, you know, to make sure they can see that image. And that's the, we don't show that image. We'll post some women twerking, you know, or fighting.
Yep.
Before we even.
Exactly.
Post it. But you love your mama, though, and your sister. You'll call her a bitch and a hoe, but you love your mama. That, hold on. She's a mama, too, you know. Or I'll be talking to pimps. I'll be trying to get the pimp brothers like, hey, so if somebody did that to your daughter or your sister, how would you feel? I'll kill them. Well, you're doing this. You're doing the same exact shit to somebody's daughter or sister or, you know, niece. You know, like, come on, bro. We got to wake up. And you don't understand you royalty. You know, your seed can't go in everything. You can't be just exchanging energies like that. And you taking other people's bad energy on. You know, you don't know what the hell this person been through in their life. You know, and now you bringing that into your body and your mind, you know, your temple. Until we got to understand that we are royalty, man. We survived so much stuff, brother. Like, it's not too many people that, I'm talking about African Americans, that can survive this stuff that we've been through. And we still here. We still fighting. We still want to be something. You know, even though we got the negativity and everything, it's a lot of us that really want to be something, to do something.
Yeah.
You know, that's that gene, that royalty gene that's in us to be powerful people. We're not just weak people. We don't want to get told what to do all the time and do this, do that. We want to create. We want to be creators, man. And that's when I try to instill in people, like, you are, if you think you got an imagination, you are a creator. Because that's the first part of creation is a thought. Once you think it, you just got to start working. You know, never give up. Never give up. And I go through this all, I'll be about to give up. I'll be like, man, this shit is too hard. Once you become a person who want to help, you know, and you hold yourself accountable for everything that you do, and you show people, and it becomes hard because a lot of people don't want to hold themselves accountable, so they don't want to fuck with you no more. The person you used to get drunk with, you don't drink no more. So that's the only thing you had in common with this dude or this female. Y'all just got drunk together. Like you said, with the sex. Shit, you only having sex with her. As soon as you start talking and trying to, you know, teach her, see, nigga, shut shit. What the fuck are you talking about? Get over here and do this. You know, with your homie, you smoke weed and play video games all day. Now you like, hey, let's put on this documentary. And damn, nigga, we just playing a game of smoking. You know, we going to the club. Now, hey, man, I'm trying to buy some black stuff and invest in black businesses. What the fuck are you talking about, nigga? Let's go to the strip club and throw these hundreds and hundreds of dollars that we on at females, black females at that. And I think we just got to wake up from that. Not all of us. Not all of us, because it ain't going to be all of us. But if a good portion of us can really bring our money together, you know, and understand it's about community, like I was telling you when we was off this, everybody should have a black community meeting. You know? All around the United States of America, a black community meeting, come together with like 5 or 10 families, you know, and just talk about what y'all can do in your district, your state, or whatever, you know, to help it to make it better, excuse me. And that's what we're going to do, you know, here. We have a couple of the movements. We got, you already know, the Black is Beautiful Barbecue that we do, annual barbecue. We do something for Juneteenth. June is when the last slaves were free. 1865 in Texas. That's our 4th of July for black people. We're gonna set off fireworks, big water fight, food, just like it was 4th of July, but it's for us. That's our holiday. You know, too many times we get trapped in their culture, in European culture. Everything is white in European culture, and it has to be white is right. You know, once you're talking to your brother and you saying it, nigga like, yeah, whatever. But he see it on TV and this white guy said it, he come to you, hey, bro, I was just watching TV. Yeah, the white dude was saying the same shit you was saying, man. That shit crazy. And you like,
crazy,
bro,
crazy.
I told you this 2 months ago. Like, what are you, we were talking about this two months ago.
Man, it gets so wild. It's like, man, it's like, yo, we have everything already here. And then even for people, I live in Georgia, the South, and stuff like that. Like, this is my country. These are my foot. Like, man, Native American. The word Native means you're from this place.
Yeah.
White, black, Mexican, none of that says Native of America. Because Native Americans are from here, but nobody, so everybody, they look at Mexicans and black people as immigrants, but it's like, we all immigrants coming here, and whether we got brought here a different way than most of y'all, but
some of us,
you
some
know,
of
we
us.
All,
brother,
we're,
remember,
yeah.
Remember, some of us was brought on the boats. Some of us was already here. You go back, my family comes from Louisiana. You feel me? It's one of the biggest Native American tribes is in Louisiana. It's the Wichita. You feel me? A lot of my family are Creole. You know, so a lot of us was already here. You know, it runs through our blood that we are natives, but we don't, they don't tell you, look, remember this, brother, that they don't show you the Native Americans that was in the South or the East Coast. Why? Why don't they show you the so-called Native Americans?
That
was, they were black. They were just like, they looked just like us. But of course, when they start mixing with the Africans, they start calling them color, Negroes. If you were an Indian and you look like a black person, they would call you a Negro. They would call you color, nigger, African American.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Black. So they just start changing. But you're a prisoner of war. That's what we are, a prisoner of war. We don't understand. It's still a war outside. It's still outside. They created 1865 is when the last slaves were free. We fought in a civil war between the North and the South. We fought in that war to become free. The South made all these laws up. It wasn't all these laws at first. You could go to jail for just standing in a place too long. They still do that to black people if you're loitering. You in front of the store. Police say, whoop, y'all can't do that out here. Same thing they did back in the days when we didn't have nothing to do. We didn't have no jobs. We didn't have no land. We was all free. So they start taking us to jail. You'll get 25 years if you look at a white woman. And they start making money off that. They start, oh, we can still, in the Constitution, it's still said, you can't enslave a person unless they commit a crime. If they're a criminal, you can make them a slave. It's still in the Constitution. This shit ain't changed. We still 3/5 of a human being in the Constitution. Why ain't nobody, you know, why white people ain't changing that, bro? If they really care, they should be fighting for that. Like, no, this shit is still in our laws. It's what America was built on. We need to change all this shit. Fuck the statues. Fuck all that. Take all that shit down. You know, because if you talk about Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, all these people were slave owners. The forefathers of America, they were all slave owners. They get no respect from black people, but we do respect them. We celebrate President's Day was today. We celebrate the president. You know what I'm saying? And most
kids get off of school and they can't tell you nothing about nothing.
Right.
All of that. It's crazy, man. Like, the White House built by slaves. Most of this country was built on a slave. Like,
so shouldn't we own
Angela
some of this shit?
Yeah. Crazy, man.
Shouldn't some of this shit be ours? It's our birthright. That's our birthright. When we built this, you promised our ancestors some of this stuff. You know, but Well, people say, lace up your own boots. You're crying. You're complaining. All black people do. They complain about everything. You know, you complain about this. But you go with Black Wall Street when they tore that down. Booming. You know, if you look up, another thing you should look up is, I don't know if you have, but for the people, is the Red Summer. 1717, if I'm not mistaken. 1917, if I'm not mistaken. But if you put in Red Summer, this is when they had riots. White people were jealous because we were booming. You feel me? We were making it. We had our own schools, our own hospitals, bus line, cab, all it was all black. We were making it. You feel me? And they would come to our communities and burn them down. Yep. These people are Christians, but they burning down churches. You know, they blowing up churches. You know, they destroying schools. They bombing us. They doing all type of shit to us, man. They putting us in jail. These are the same people, man. And like I said, in the Bible it says, you will pay, you're supposed to pay, man, for your forefathers. And if they put people in slavery, you should go back in slavery. And if they kill people by the sword, you would die by the sword, man. It's just, we don't want to hurt anyone. Well, that's natural for us. Unless, you know, it's our own people. We don't want to hurt nobody. This is our own people. But when you talk about fighting for your nation and your people, you become an angry black guy or angry black woman or the thing that the government, the FBI has out now, the BIE, is that what it's called? Black Identity Extremists, excuse me.
And oh, yeah, I heard of that.
Yeah, they got some guys in Houston right now that's locked up because they said he was one. They locking people up. They locking black people up that's trying to help the community. That's trying to teach. That's trying to, man, just help. And you don't got to send your kids to the schools, man. That's our first problem. The mothers are the first teachers, man. Like you said, brother, you had said it with your mom. And this with most black women. They're making it, not with your mom, but I'm saying she was a single mother and she had to work 24/7, but more black women are growing up. They're becoming more successful with careers. You know, a lot of them don't have time to have a child, to find love. You know, you'll see women looking good, fly, nice car, everything. She doesn't have a man. You know what I'm saying? They'd be like, "Well, you look good. How you ain't got no man?" I don't know. You know, I guess they get scared when they get around me or something. And you like, what? But this is the system, yeah. Though. You know, this is a system that more women are making it. You know, they're becoming successful, and more men are going to jail. More men are not making it. More men are giving up. You know, so it has to be a balance there. The mother is the teacher. She is the first teacher. But she doesn't have time to. And the man is the first leader. But we're not leading. We're giving up. We're becoming weaker. You know, we got to fight for that. That manhood, that black manhood, and talk to the people. And talk to the people and reach them. We got, we got Juneteenth, June 17th, 18th, and 19th. We will be doing something. We got Black August, Marcus Garvey birthday. We'll be having the Marcus Garvey birthday, the Haitian Revolution, the Nat Turner's Revolution. So August is a big thing. And in California, they got Black August. So August is a big thing for black people. So that around that time, a revolutionary spirit comes through. We have the Black Family Community Meeting. We do Royalty Weekend in November. And then that's it. That's it for right now. But we want to have our own holidays, man. Our own culture. We represent the red, black, and green flag. Red is for the people, the ancestors that died. Black is for the nation. And green is for the natural resources of the planet Earth. And that's our flag, man, red, black, and green. You don't have to represent that American flag. It's still just like the Confederate flag. The American flag is the same as the Confederate flag. It's just the North and the South. South One.
And, yeah, definitely, not to cut you off, but the whole, as of late, with Colin Kaepernick and everything, you've mm-hmm. seen so many American flags, and it's just like, that's a symbol of, like, mm-hmm. people are throwing up more and more and more, and it's kind of like a secret code, and like, yeah, mm-hmm. this is our land. Don't you forget it. It's like, I ain't never seen so many American flags till Colin Kaepernick in my life. I've mm-hmm. never seen that many go flying up everywhere. They trying to show you. And then they said, I think it was Minister Farrakhan said Elijah Muhammad met up with the leader of the KKK. Mm-hmm. He said that, you know what? One day, we're going to take these hoods off, and we're going to become your judges. We're going to yep. become your teachers. We're going to become lawmakers. We're going to become president. We're going to become a bunch of different things, because we're going to play the game differently, and we're going to get smarter. And that's what it is. It just seems like, as of late, y'all taking the Confederate flag down, but we are flying this American flag. A lot of places are bringing up these American flags, but if you're a dummy, you're not going to really get what's going on here. This past Super Bowl and different things, you see so many American flag things that you've never seen before in your life. It's just like, whoa, it's like an influx of American
look
flags.
Look her up, brother. Dr. Frances Claus Wilson. Dr. Frances Claus Wilson. I'm a child of hers. You feel me? Dr. Frances, she breaks all the signs, symbols, sports, games that we play. What all this stuff means, man, she breaks it down. She's a great teacher, woman. You know, this problem with defeminizing the black man, you know, making us more soft. You know, like a lot of black mm-hmm. men are becoming real soft, you know, real mm-hmm. sugary, you know.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that's stopping us from competing. Because when people say race, I don't look at it as, you know, how people look at it as a people. I look at it as a competition that we in a race. Every group is. Every nation, I would say, is. You know? We're in a race to win, but we're not. We're helping them win. We're giving them water. You know how in the marathon, there'd be people right there with the water.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
they
yeah.
come running. That's
cup.
Us. That's us. Like, oh, you thirsty, huh? Go ahead. You're going to win, master. You're going to win. You're going to win. Little tiny lady come that do the nails.
Yeah.
I don't know how the hood is bad, but you got nail shops and hair beauty supplies owned by, you know, the Asians, and they booming. Here you some water. You know, I'm going to buy hair from you. I ain't going to get my own. You know what I mean? Like, this is what we do.
Yeah. It's great. It's like, you got to pay attention to the signs, man, or you will get engulfed in it. And then it's like, people get it mixed up and feel like we're being racist. Like, no, this is facts of what's going on in communities. But then the minute you say something or speak up, you're racist, or you're like a black supremacist. You're not just a white. You're like a going against all kinds
I
of
love
white
that.
People. White people
I
are
love
in
that.
Danger now. I've seen a podcast. This dude was like, man, all of a sudden, like, all these black roles, it's just a big deal. In Atlanta, they filmed Black Panther. And the dude was like, oh, you know, my wife gets casting calls all the time. She didn't get nothing for Black Panther. I mean, well, damn, can we have something? You see
nope.
what I'm saying? Like, I've been.
Hell no. Nah.
Shit. Can we
Hell
have
nah.
one thing? But
nope.
I mean, that's it, man. And then for the woman. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
You got
it. Oh, because I was going to say, because that one thing will spark something. They know that. You know, because if you look at it, during Marcus Garvey, when he had his movement, you had the Moorish Americans, you have Nation of Islam, you got the Civil Rights Movement, you got the Black Panthers. They know it only takes one spark, and it's gonna change us. Like with this Black Panther movie, a lot of black people are coming into their own culture. We're dressing up, we're doing things African. We want to know more about our traditions and stuff.
Man,
so
beautiful.
Beautiful,
man.
But remember,
yeah, I mean,
they know.
It's innate. They had Chadwick Boseman on the Breakfast Club, and he said, we need to do AfricanAncestry.com. And it was crazy because he said, AfricanAncestry.com can let you know where your people come from so you could directly go and connect. And they say it even might even come down to the way you dance. You talk about dancing. What if you come from a tribe of dancers?
Can
you
I
never
another
know.
One? It's another documentary that's about to come out. It's called Bigger Than Africa. And it goes through South America, you know, and Central America. And they talk about these islands, you know, because, you know, them first places, colonies of slavery. The islands. We are the last slaves. You know, if you didn't know that, the African American was the last slaves. They went to Central America through the islands. They went to South America. Then they went to Mexico. That's why we got a lot of black people in Mexico that they never tell us about. And then us. That's why they treated us so bad, because they went through this with all them, with the revolutionary spirit, with these people fighting back and doing stuff. So when they came here to America, they was like, we're not going to let them know anything about their culture. You're not going to speak your native tongue. You're not going to dance, drums. We're going to try to keep all that shit away from you guys. You know, they made it harder, but we still have it. The brother, the you were saying the actor, but the guy who shot the movie,
the director,
Ryan he was on,
shout out
he
to
was
him,
on a
man.
Yeah, he was on the radio, he was on the Hot 97, and he was explaining how he went to Africa and they was doing their little celebration, and it was like a cookout, like how we do it. He's like, man, they just the same. I'm telling you, it's the same way we do shit. But what I was saying in that documentary, they show dances that they do, you know. And my queen was like, y'all be doing that. What? Yeah. She was like, y'all be doing that same dance, I'm telling you. Y'all be doing the same thing.
Everything comes from something before us. And I'm glad you brought that up. Tell us about your queen. We need to hear, like, what does she give you that gives you the power and the strength to keep going? And what has she done for you in your life that we don't hear from men, that a real man could say, like, what his woman gives to him to keep him going? So she knows she can hear this, and the world can hear this and know, like, what she gives to you. What does she give for you and your son and your family?
The black woman. The black woman is God. So my woman gave to me strength, power, you know. She's been through a whole lot. She's been through when I wasn't conscious, you know, and when I was playing around in the streets and trying to be a player. She been through that stuff, and she stuck by me, you know. So I owe her my life for that. And once I understood how, what they did to the woman, you know, and their struggle, you know, her struggle of being, not knowing if I'm going to be there, not knowing if I'm going to, you know, actually be faithful. And I see that they always had this. They always had to be strong. And sometimes they just have to toughen up, you know, because they would sell the man. They would sell their son. They would kill him in front of him. You know, so she helps me to be more sincere, you know, to think more, to try to come up with something to make sure we're okay. She really does, though. And at first, it was hard. At first, because she was, you know, she grew up as a Christian. And when I told her I ain't with that anymore, you know, I believe in the black family. The black family is God to me, you know. And she is a woman. And I asked her the same thing. Well, what about, why doesn't the religions have a woman? And she said, I always thought that. You know, and I was just like, yeah. And she kind of motivated me to learn more to help her. You know what I mean? Like, she would come with questions, trying to go against what I was thinking or seeing, and it would motivate me to learn more. You know, she always motivates me, definitely. And I would say that to any woman, always motivate your man to go out there and get it and to do research. Never tell him he can't do anything. You know, she always tell me I could do some shit. She be, when I say I don't know if I could do it, she be like, "What? No, don't say that. You can't. Like, you didn't even try to research the shit yet, or you didn't even try to do it yet." So she always motivates me, and that's what the black woman is. She's your biggest cheerleader. You know, she really is.
Yeah, and then your mom. What does your mom mean to you, and what has she always been in your life, man? I know it's hard to get through this because I'm from hearing this already. I'm like, man, his mom really been his everything, man. For real.
Yeah, my
so
mom, she really is.
If
she
you
is
could
my
just
God.
fight through it, just to speak on
yeah,
it briefly.
So,
you got, I mean,
I got
mom,
you.
I already know. It's
my mom, she is my God. You know, she is my God, man. She brought me here, so she's man, dude. She's amazing. She's awesome, man. Like, she always had to be on her own, though. Like, she was raised by a grandma. Her mom passed away when she was younger. You feel me? She barely knew her dad, you know. So she always had to be strong, you know. Dudes were scared of my mom, you know. Like, when I go to my neighborhood, my mom is from my neighborhood, you know what I mean? Like, my whole family is on my mom's side. And when I go back there, they always, "Your mom, man, dude, your mom, this, that, your mom," like, they praise her. Like this woman right here, strong woman, you know. And I saw that firsthand, how she just been through so much. She's been through so much. So she gave me that, you know, she gave me that strength to always fight back. She would tell me that as a kid, "Don't let nobody do shit." And she would get mad at me if I didn't protect myself. You know, if I let somebody just put me down, you don't let people talk to you like that. You know, you speak up if something's wrong. You know, you don't gotta follow people. If you don't want to do it, just say you don't want to. She gave me that voice, I would say, to speak up. And if I thought of something, I had an idea, like today, the reason why I feel this way and the reason why I'm with my queen is because of my mom. She said, "Don't leave that girl. She's a strong woman. How many women you know that's gonna come out here and do this for you? You know, you get locked up, she right there. How many women you know? The little girls you talk to, you know, and mama knows." Mama knows. She'll tell you, "I don't like her. Something about her. I'm telling you, I don't know." You know, because my mom is a person like this. She come from the old school. She come house, what is it? The name I'm looking for? Home training. You know, when you walk in somebody's house, you speak. You don't speak to my mom when you walk in. If you walked in with me, she'd say, "I ain't sleep with you last night. Excuse me." You know, she went, "How you doing, man?" You know what I mean? You know, she wants you to speak. That, you got to give that. If you don't give that, you rub her the wrong way. You know, you don't come in with that good energy, she can sense it. And that's what I learned from my mom. You know, to sense that bad energy and to keep fighting, and the things you want, you go get. You know, and treat people fair and honest. My mom took care of all my friends. If you ask any of my friends, any of the people that you know, they would call my Mama Lisa, and she did so much for everyone. We always had kids staying with us. We will always take people in. We still do it today, you know. And that's the way, that's why I am the way I am. I always want people to win. My people, I want my people to win, man, for real. We deserve to. We deserve it.
Definitely. Man, it just, like, from your earlier stories, man, it just seemed like, man, your mom been through a lot, but her goal always was to provide for you and the family. And just everything she did, all the pain she endured, the heartaches, the Mary J. Blige song that spoke to her soul and my mom, so, you know, like, that was like a African dialect that my life soundtrack was. Really important to the black household, especially with women in it. You know, like, my dad was around, and I'm very fortunate for that, even though they were separated. But my stepdad was in and out of jail, and then, like, when he was going to jail, it'd be like, "God, I'm in here with five kids, three of her own, and then his two, and I'm going through it." And she's just throwing Mary J. Blige, and, man, just make it. But your mom, man, it just really seemed like she's always in your corner and everything like that. Because I remember vividly, too, it's like literally everything in this life is meant for a reason. Because I remember one time somebody was going to fight you at the church, and I remember your mom was right there, like, where the fuck he at? I mean, what's up?
Call
like,
me.
Like,
we had a, dude,
I'm here.
Riz, we
like,
had a
period.
Fight. My mom was fighting with us one time. This dude called us a nigger. He said, go back to where you come from. We say, what, dude? Like, what? And my mom was fighting with us, dude. Like, that shit was crazy, man.
I just remember, like, I was like, that shit is crazy that this dude mom is just standing here to make sure no shit go down, to make sure it's a fair fight. And I had, like, a Jeep or something like that, I think. She wore a truck. And she sat there and was like, what's up with it? You know,
that's
like,
crazy.
I mean,
that's
I mean, it was just like certain things in life is glimpses. And it was like, I just remember your mom sitting outside of the truck. Like, yo, who the fuck is here to fight my son? Like, I just want to make sure it's a fair one. Like, y'all can do whatever, you know. I just want to make sure it's fair. And I just remember certain shit like that. It was just like, man, the unity. And then, I mean, now I understand why. It was like your mom told you to stand up for yourself. And she also wanted to let you know she always got your back, no matter what, man. No matter what. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a really beautiful thing. Because, like I said, I always look for that nurturing. Because my mom was always, she was busy, and she was busy trying to take care of us. So I understand it, but I was missing that nurturing. But it's like, I really admire the people like you, my boy Kenny. Shout out to the whole Ellie Linen Clothing. Everybody go get that. But your stories of with your mom, and you know, so I admire those stories because I never really knew exactly what it was like because my mom, she had to provide. So, you know, I was like, yo, she don't really have time to make sure everybody's okay, like emotionally. She don't have time. So for you and Kenny and stuff like that, I'm like, yo, I really admire those stories, man. So, man, shout out to your mom. Shout out to your queen. Shout out to greatness. The whole black, everything
black,
that you're doing.
Black
man,
is beautiful.
I know
black is beautiful family. You know, building lives actively. Can I do something real quick?
I need your slogan. I don't think they know, so I think they need to know your slogan.
Let me,
go ahead. Please,
let me do it real quick. So, what it do? Another day, another dollar. You cannot tell me black men are lazy. I work 7 days a week. Salute to all my brothers and sisters out there that's taking care of their kids and their family, making sure they're in their kids' life. By any means necessary and making sure they teach. Remember, mothers are the first teachers and fathers are the first leaders. And you cannot run away from that. BLACK is an acronym meaning building lives actively, consciously, and creatively. It is beautiful as love is power, black power. Na guvo na uzi, na penda wantu wangu. And that's Swahili at the end.
Man, and people don't know you do that every day. Every day. It's not a game. It's not a catchy. It's not, I'm woke. It's a real, he does this every day. Every single day. He goes out and he lives it and he stands by it every day. So my last question for you is, what is your dream for the black community? Like, what is your, like, when you leave this earth or wherever, however we go, nobody really knows it till it happens.
Nobody really.
What
nobody
is
knows.
It you want to see?
I would want to see, to be honest, the black family teaching their children. Like how they do it in Africa, how they do it in Cuba, and in these places where we outnumber certain groups, you know. And we can do that in different states, in different cities too. You know, we outnumber certain groups, but we don't teach our own history. So if we celebrate our own history, our own people that fought for us, I would love to see that because when you have culture, you know what you're going to eat, what you're going to dress like, you know, what you're going to buy. So we can keep that money in our community. That's the biggest thing, culture. You know, language comes with culture. All that stuff comes with culture. And that'll be the most important thing because we celebrate everybody else's culture. And we, you know, all the holidays, how we talk, how we dress, well, we got hip hop, but hip hop is getting whitened out now, so we don't control it anymore. But culture, teach your children. You are the first teacher. If black people just understand that, when you're talking, what you're watching, what you're doing, you are the first teacher. Don't say with Mrs. whoever, Mr. da-da-da. You are the first teacher. I just want to see that. That'll be amazing. That will help us so much if black parents understood they are the first teacher. Or any person that's older understood that you are the first teacher. So what you show, that's what the kids are going to do, what you teach.
Yes, sir. Man, I really appreciate it. I've been trying to get this for a minute because, I mean, I just was watching. I got you on Instagram. I was like, oh, I know Rod. And what I know Rod for is Rod got hands. And I know Rod ain't no punk, man. I always knew that you were a leader. And it was just like, it's good to see that you using your leading skills in a different, in a positive way. And when people really stop fear, because fear controls everything. Religion controls by fear. A lot of things are ruled by fear. So when people get over the fear and start getting into the understanding of what, why certain things are, they're really opening their eyes. So when people don't look like, oh, it's guns around. Oh, you might get these person riled up. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. They'll know.
I like that.
Fear nothing, man. Don't fear nothing. Nina Simone had the biggest thing ever. She said the best way to really be free, to truly be free in life, is to live life with no fear. It could be burning all around you, but if you're not scared, that means you're free. That spirit is free. Nina Simone, blood on the leaf. Strange fruit hanging from the cotton tree. Say, man, strange fruit. Do you know what strange fruit is, brother? That's me and you hanging from the trees. And who is that? A woman. People need to understand these women. We got to stop treating them like shit.
They're powerful.
You know,
bro.
It really burns me up, man. Like, it really tears me up. If I get in an argument with my wife, man, afterwards, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what did I just do? Because it's like, I don't want to be doing this shit. But it's like,
for
you
real.
Know, you get wrapped up in the world and all that shit. But it's like, a woman really, really is just, man, they're Mother Earth. They're everything.
Tell
they
the
really
truth.
Bring all of this
Tell
to the surface,
truth.
Man. It's like, she wasn't scared. She made songs, Mississippi, goddamn. Like, what's going on in here, man? Like, people need to watch her documentary on Netflix.
True.
You got damn Netflix. Use this shit
love.
For good cause. Man, yeah. I'm telling you, because Nina Simone's strange fruit hanging. They like it because Kanye used the sample for some other shit, and it's a good beat, but her song, Strange Fruit.
Yeah, that was old.
Like,
that was old Kanye. That was old Kanye. No.
Yeah, that was old Kanye. We trying to get my brother back, man. Kanye. Man, I'm going to go on my little Kanye West rant real quick. Kanye gets so much. I'm going to keep talking this shit until he comes back right because it's
yeah,
like.
Did you remember
when
he was
made,
like. He was,
when
it, oh, sorry. About
yeah.
That. When he was
no,
on 106 in Park and he was like, Bush don't like black people. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Yo.
Tell
when
him,
he
tell
makes.
Him.
When he makes fucking. When it all falls down, if you just listen to that song, like, I mean, a crackhead by. Crack Jordan deal by crack and a white man get paid off of all of that. I'm like, God damn. He's like, I ain't gonna act like I'm holier now. I'm fucking. I went to Jacob with 25,000. Like, nigga, he was speaking truths and like that person is still in there. So when he comes back out, it's gonna be great. But something happened to him along the way.
Brother,
something happened.
He lost his mind.
He lost his mom. He lost
remember?
What? He lost first. He lost God. He lost everything.
Yeah, it's everything.
He lost
teacher. He that's who he was he depended on her. But
man.
With the white society, she was getting surgeries that we didn't need, man. That's
no.
I'm just being honest though. We was doing things that that's not our culture. We don't try to change our bodies and get surgeries and suck this and add this and put this in our bodies and stuff. I'm just saying, you know?
Yeah, and she was, man, when I seen her looking in his eyes and like, oh, no, no, tell him that one rap, the rap that goes like this. His mother knew his raps, man.
Raps on me.
Come on, man. Like, what the, who, I mean, niggas, you know, that making a song and your mom knows it and it's like a good rap about something. His mom and the look, I remember they was in their old kitchen when he was first coming out and she was just rapping with him.
Smiling,
and the
big,
look that
big old
they gave
Kool-Aid smile.
Man, I mean, the look that they gave each other, that shit was powerful. Like, she really believes in this shit. She really believes in me. And when he lost her, he lost everything. And it took, and us as a black community and as people that Kanye West spoke to, we have to push him up. We have to keep him like, you're going to come back one day. It's going to come back to you because his message, that college dropout, was so fucking powerful. I mean, I've been working in slave ships and I ain't made shit. Wish I could buy a spaceship and fly away? God damn, like, if that don't hit you as a black man in the soul, I don't know what the fuck else is going to hit you. Like, if my manager insults me again, I'm going to be assaulting this nigga. Like, yo, this, I could go on a Kanye West sermon. You and like, that college dropout, that shit, man, like, really spoke, like, to, whoa. Like, what is he talking about? And everybody had to get him out of the paint because he was too powerful on his own.
Yeah.
He was speaking.
Yeah, he was doing everything himself too, you know. So
yes, sir. And nobody believed in him but his mama. Everybody's like, nah, nigga, you make the beats. You don't do nothing else. You make the beats. But he's like, I rap. And nobody believed him. But you know who believed him? His mama. And when she died, he lost his mind. He really did. We can try to bring him back, but it's going to be hard because I can't bring his mom back. And his mom, that scene with them rapping in the kitchen and her just believing in him and, like, there's not like a woman behind you and just feeling that joy and really believing in you. And the whole interview today, you said how women empowered you and believed in you. Mm-hmm. It's just like, come on, man.
The revolution starts with the woman first, because she is the first teacher. So if she wants us to be warriors and fight back, if she wants that, we're going to be that. You know what I'm saying? She want a baller, we're going to try to get all the money we can. You know, she wants you to be smart, you're going to act smart like a mug. You know, whatever she wants, she is the first teacher, man. And once we understand that, empower your woman. For the men out there, tell her every day she is the first teacher, man. She is the first teacher. You are the first teacher. You know, you are the first teacher. To make sure she knows that, you know, because people look up to her. You see all these women want to be her. All these women want to be her. You see them.
I mean, you got to let them know that they beautiful, because some days they might not be feeling beautiful. So you got to let them know you're the most beautiful woman in the world. I mean, the world. I tell my woman, I said, you know what? You're a queen and you don't even know it. You don't even know you was here before. You was on the pedestal before. You don't even know you was here. You was overseeing all this shit. And I'm with you because I know that with you, I could find me. I could find my peace. I could find my king, my throne to sit right next to you because I see it. When you look in somebody's eyes, you can tell their whole life story. You could tell, man. And I knew for a long time, I said, man, this dude rides a leader. Because you was already leading. It was a negative way, like in high school, if you wanted it to be that way. But at the same time, like you said. Yeah, but at the same time, you can't knock that because you help brothers out, you said, with deodorant or food or whatever it is. You help them out. So I'm never going to criminalize anybody. Yeah, at times we could have did better, but at the same time, it was some good in that. When you brought them in, maybe some people ain't never see a relationship between a son and a mom good like you and your mom. Yeah. You know, I mean, in the midst of all that, it was some good in that. So we never, on here, on my platform, I'm never down in no gangster shit, no gangbanging, no whatever. Yeah, we could have did better, but guess what? All that shit is by design to lead us to today. So none of that shit, you don't take none of it back. Because it's like, look, if it got me here, then I'm good with it. Straight up. Like, that's it, man. And I just thank you, man, for coming on, for sharing your story.
Thank you,
continue
brother.
Continue what you're doing. Man, you're going to get a podcast.
I want to tell the people. I want to tell the people, this man right here is amazing. He hollered at me. He gave me the call, you know. He saw something in me, and he giving me his platform to talk and tell my story, and I really appreciate that because we need that with black men, with the brotherhood, that a brother can see another man doing good and reach out, you know, and help him and assist him to be better. And I want to say thank you, brother.
Oh, yeah, man, that's all it is. And that's what it is. If we see more of that, it'll become the norm. They say when you practice something, you practice in that jab or that hook or that uppercut. When you do it so much and so, like, at the right precise time, you could do this shit in the dark, and you're going to hit your target because you practice it so much. So if we start this practice of, hey, brother, you're doing a good job. Hey, brother, you look nice today. Hey, brother, I like your platform. How can I help? And we got to support all that discount shit and all that shit. Like, no, you ain't going to get no discount for no white man or nobody else.
Yeah.
You better pay full price.
Tell the truth.
For what they're
selling.
Tell the truth.
Dude, we're just talking about that.
Come on,
man. Tell the truth.
Discount is discounted from his family, taking food out their mouth. That's why I big up my brother with the Ellie Lenny, Kenny. It's like, yo, when I said, I'm going to Paris. You know what the fuck I want to do? I want to wear your shit in Paris because I want them to know your shit is worldwide, my nigga. Your shit is worldwide because we empowering these other brothers. Like, yo, I want to take pictures next to fucking Egyptian goddesses, the shit they stole. I want to take pictures with your shit on it. So, because we're going to bring it back. Because your shit, this is where it come from. I said, yo, we're going to do it, and we help each other. And that's all we got to continue to do. So my dream, my hope is that for all communities, but specifically for mine, because it's near and dear to my heart, the black community, is that we start this trend. We start this practice, rather. That jump shot, those 16 bars, we like hip-hop, we love sports. We start this practice that it becomes easy. We can do this in the dark. We can congratulate in the dark. We can uplift in the dark. We can support in the dark. Like, we doing this so it's normal. It's not, oh, he trying to get over on me. Nah, he trying to do it. No, man, it's like, yo, we going to do this shit for real, and we going to do it right, because we not happy in these jobs that we at today. Anybody with the sound of my voice, if you happy with that shit you going into every day and trying to act like, oh, it's fine, no, the fuck you not.
Don't
lie to yourself.
God damn it.
Don't lie to yourself. You want your own. You want to be able to be you, unapologetically you.
Yeah.
So, man, let's just uplift. We can do it. It's going to be hard as a bitch, but it's going to be worth it. It's going to be hard than a motherfucker, but the end result is what we're trying to go through. And that's why we stay in this mentality of, I just want my little two-week paycheck, because it's like, it's too hard to try somewhere else. But no, we can do it, man. And we're going to do it one step at a time, one person at a time, each teacher at a time, man. And just, that's it, man. Dave, man, like I said, anybody listening to this, please write a review, because I guess it's not a comment. Write a review on Apple Podcasts under This Is Recorded. Follow me on This Is Recorded, SoundCloud, This Is Recorded. And follow my brother. Give them all your handles if they want to see what you on.
If they type in Rod G Star Tyler, the G and the stars together, you spell it out, excuse me, Rod G Star Tyler, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, you can find me on there. I just want to say another thing. When you said with other communities, but you definitely want to help yours. Fred Hampton with the Black Panthers from Chicago, 22 years old, he got murdered by police and the government, but people always speak about Chicago, young man who was helping, bringing the gangs together. He said, brown power to brown people, white power to white people, yellow power to yellow people, and damn sure, black power to black people. So everybody should be empowered to help their community. You know, I am a racist. I'm a racist not because I hate you. I just love my race. You feel me? I'm trying to compete and to make sure my family is straight. And when I say my family, I'm not talking about my household. I'm talking about my community, my nation. You feel me? These are all my people. These are all my people. And that's the one thing we got to understand. We are together in this. And it's a war outside. Na guvo na uzi, na penda wantu wangu, baba, mama, kaka, and dada. As Black Power, I love my people, father, mother, brother, and sister. I love my people, man, for real.
Yes, sir. And that's it, man. It's just like you said earlier, I didn't want to cut you off earlier, but it was like, to see all that we came through, you can't help but scream Black Power, man. We done
Black
been through
power.
Too
what?
Much shit. We done been through too much shit to not be like, I'm still here. I should not be here after all this shit we've been through. But I'm still here, man. And, man, I hope this podcast, man, this episode really empowers somebody to love yourself, embrace your culture, and especially Black culture, man. And just, hey, that's it. I can't thank you enough, man.
Can I tell them some? Dr. Francis Claus Wilson, Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, Red Pill, Blue Pill. These are Mama Pill. Mama Pill, she worked with Dr. Sabi, Khalid Muhammad, you already know Malcolm X, some of the young people, Zaza Ali, that's a female, Sonetta TV, Sarah Sun Seti, Young Pharaoh, Brother Polite, some good brothers and sisters. If you look up, Nation of Islam, you know, they believe in Islam, but they some good brothers and sisters. The Moors Americans, if you look up Moor, it'll help you with civilizing Spain. That's Morocco. Northern Africa is taken over by the Arabs. If we understand that the Arabs are one of our first enemies before the Europeans, and they enslaved us first before the Europeans. They took over Northern Africa, the ones that's enslaving the Libyans and people that's coming through Libya. They are Arabs, Middle Eastern people, the ones who took over Egypt and letting people walk through a cemetery. You feel me? That's not a place you go to. That's where they bury our ancestors in Egypt. You're not supposed to be going in there taking bodies out. That's very disrespectful. Somebody digged up your grandma, your uncle. You know, what would you do? That's the same thing these people are doing when they go in these tombs, digging up people, ancient people that's supposed to be buried and relaxing. They're taking up their bodies and doing all type of shit, taking their DNA. Hidden Colors, 1, 2, 3, 4. The Hidden History of Haiti. Look up Central America, all the islands, if you want to learn about more about Black people, because we got a connection with them. We should learn a different language. We are some of the Africans around the world who only speak English. Africans from the continent speak English. They might speak French and their native tongue. People in Central America speak Spanish and speak English when they come here. People from Brazil have the most Africans other than the continent of Africa. The most Black people in Brazil other than the continent of Africa. And they speak Portuguese. The Portuguese enslaved, the Spaniard. You know what I mean? Like, we could just do your research, man. Do your research and learn about your people. Please. Please. We are everywhere. Everywhere.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. Hey, really appreciate this, man. Like I said, write a review. Tell us this one was powerful, man. This one's going to shake the earth, man. So, definitely. But I appreciate you, man. And this is recorded, man. Thank you.
Thank you.